first of all, like, best name ever, but what exactly is the hot melt diet? Because I got to tell you, it sounds like some cheese melted on a piece of bread, and I'm sure it's not that.
There is no dairy.
I just am like pretty darn sure. I was like, going, I'm pretty sure. Like, doesn't it sound like, you know, a hot melt sandwich?
Hey, it's JJ, and welcome to Ask the Health Expert. But this isn't just any old Ask the Health Expert session. This is your bonus session. Yes, it's the weekend, and because it's the weekend, we are going to take some time with an amazing expert. So be on the lookout for these Saturday Ask the Health Expert bonus sessions where we're going to go deep into an amazing subject with an incredible expert to give you actionable items that you can put into your life.
Hey, it's JJ with a super exciting guest today. For those of you who love recipes, which I know is like everybody, I've got my buddy, New York Times bestselling author, Leanne Ely. Not only is she a New York Times bestselling author, but she is an author of 10 published books. And the reality is, you know, we really look at it because she created the very first menu planning website, Saving Dinner, and has been doing recipes ever since. She is probably one of the most prolific recipe writers on the planet, and you're going to be getting some of her awesome faves today. I'm going to give you that right now, just so you make sure you get it. If you go to jjvirgin.com/hot melt, and we'll explain why that name hot melt is being used, because it's kind of fun. You will be getting this. And Leanne, I will tell you, I met Leanne because she literally pinged me on Twitter. She tweeted at me and she was like, "Hey, I've got some recipes. You're writing diet programs. Let's talk." So we hooked up and literally we got to be buddies online. And then I was going to North Carolina where she lived at the time. So I went and stayed at her house. I mean, how crazy is this? And she cooked. It was amazing. We did a bunch of fun videos, and the rest is history. So I'm really excited to finally have my buddy Leanne Ely on the show with me today. Now, before we dive in, I want to share one of my favorites with you. All right, Leanne Ely, about darn time you got on this show.
Well, thanks for inviting me. Finally.
What's a girl got to do to get like one of her oldest pals on her podcast? Jeez. Anyway, it will be well worth it for all of you wondering the same question as me, because Leanne has been up to some fun stuff in the kitchen. Hopefully you've been over checking out her Facebook when she does some of her cooking. Some of that looks a little wine induced.
Some
of it, girl. Yeah. You know, I was like going, you should like the wine, the, you know, cooking with wine.
And sometimes so, I put it in food.
So you have, you've been all over the place. And I kind of want to start back, kind of rewind, because gosh, you know, when I first met you, and you literally, for everybody listening, I met Leanne because she tweeted at me.
Yeah.
And kind of were like going, wow, I've got a program. You've got recipes. Let's get it all together. But you've been cooking and doing amazing recipes for, gosh, how long, my friend?
Well, my very, 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 very first book with a publisher who will stay unnamed at this point was in 2000. So that was my very first cookbook. And then, I've done 10 of them. So there's been a few.
10 of them. And that's, I mean, you've done 10 cookbooks, but you've got, I don't know how many recipes because of your, you know, recipe, meal service and all that stuff. You just have so much stuff out there. It's crazy. So prolific recipe queen is who we have here now with Leanne Ely, right? I mean, it's true. And wow. What's interesting is you keep reinventing yourself, which is what makes it even cooler.
Yeah, me and Madonna.
Yes, there you go.
It's our 18th year, believe it or not. January was the 18th, beginning of our 18th year at Saving Dinner. So it has been quite a journey.
Very fun. So let's talk about, because, you know, when you first started cooking, I'm assuming it's always been healthy cooking, right?
Pretty much. I mean, not back when I first learned how to cook professionally, was in the 80s. And of course, you know, it was with French chefs and, you know, that was kind of a whole different thing, although that's kind of made a comeback, but you know, a little bit of a difference there, of course. But yes, I reinvented it to be healthy, right after I started having children.
Yes. Yeah, so she's been doing healthy cooking forever. Now, I remember way back when, healthy cooking was cooking light and like, oh my gosh, thank God it's not there anymore. Now your latest thing, because you started stepping into this with your part-time paleo and now you've gone into kind of a new spin on keto. And I love the name of this. It's like so cool. This hot melt.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, how did this all come to be? Was it just like one night having some wine and this brilliance downloaded, or what happened?
Yeah, exactly. There's always wine involved.
I know you too well. So
yeah, well, we've tipped a glass or two together, or five.
So let's, I want to learn how this happened, and then we're going to share with everybody this. And just for everybody listening, by the way, you're going to get your hands on some awesome recipes, and I'm going to tell you, you can get them, or I'll tell right now the link. It's jjvirgin.com/hotmelt. So you'll be able to get recipes. So as you're listening to this going, I want those recipes, you're getting them. Don't worry. So let's back it up and say, all right, how did you figure out this whole hot melt thing? How'd the hot melt not become a hot mess? Or maybe it is.
Well, let me just say, I thought keto just generally by itself, and you know, if you go onto Pinterest, you can understand what I'm talking about. But if you go to Pinterest and look for keto recipes, you see all kinds of nightmares in there. And it's just what really drove me nuts is there was not enough nutrients in there. And that is always the basis of how I create a recipe. Is it nutrient rich? So what happened was I just got a lot of customer service questions like, is a keto diet safe? Is a keto diet healthy? Can I do this? And so I started, you know, of course, just like anybody else, I started doing the research on it and was really amazed at how long the keto diet's been around and how much it has influenced different.
Can we talk about that? Because someone did just posted that, and I remember when they called the virgin diet a fad, and I'm like, it's an elimination diet. They've been around for decades.
Right.
Keto diets has been around for thousands of years. So the idea that this is a fad is like calling paleo a fad. No, this was how we ate 5,000 years ago. I mean, it's just, I hear these things, I'm like, I can't, my head spins and then falls off. So this is not a fad for everybody listening. I mean, we'll take any diet and make it a fad application, but Julius Caesar actually used keto to control a seizure. So not a fad.
Right, not a fad. And when it really got grabbed medical community's attention was back in the 20s, if you can believe that. And there was a doctor who came out with this showing the connection between, just like Julius Caesar, epilepsy and having a very high fat diet. So it's evolved a lot since then. And they've noticed that it really helps with diabetes type 2. It helps with PCOS and it helps with all kinds of hormones.
Brain injuries.
Brain injuries galore. Yeah. I mean, yes, you know this from personal experience. So a keto diet in and of itself is something that a lot of practitioners kind of take issue with. They say, don't do it forever, do it seasonally. There's not a lot of research out there, at least what I have found, that says doing keto 100% all the time is a good thing. But I sort of part ways a little bit with the traditional keto diet. And what I look at instead is, do you have the fat balanced in your diet for what it is that you're trying to do and for what works for you? Because as you know, it's all extraordinarily individual. It's never one size fits all. So I look at it from the perspective of, for example, I've got one lady that's in one of my groups who it just didn't work for her at all. She felt crappy on it and she did all kinds of things up and down. And it was just her particular body type. It did not work for. I had another woman who just absolutely, and this is why I called it hot melt, because she was just hot melting like butter on a stove, man. This woman was just shedding it. Now she had more weight to lose than this other lady. And you know, she was in a different place hormonally. She had all the different things going on. And of course, you know how it is. You're not a doctor and you can't say, oh, well, this is going to work for you and this is not. But there's a genuinely, I think there's a plumb line for everyone. And that is making sure that you have enough fat in your diet. And it's not so much about the ketones as it is about being in a fat burning zone.
Yeah. And here's what people need to understand too. They feel like you have to be in ketosis, extreme low carbohydrate, to produce ketones. No.
No.
Not true. So I think what you're saying here, and I've been really looking at this lately, because here's the thing, all diets actually work in some way. I just went and did this Dr. Oz segment, and our buddy Dr. Alan Christensen, as I was flying to do it, because it was on potatoes, said, have you read the potato hack diet? And literally, here's a diet where all you eat are potatoes. Okay. Then we've got, you know, juice cleanses, we've got fasting, we've got keto diets, we've got but they all actually work. For exactly. a period of time. And so, exactly. you know, what you can do with these things is go, okay, I'm going to like go intensive, use this therapeutically based on my genes and my lifestyle, my, like what's going on with my health at the time and what my goals are, and then see where I want to stay, which it sounds like is what you've really created here is, you know, test how you feel best and then create it so that you've got good optimal fat, which we all feel better on. I'm sorry. No one ever has told me, you know, I took the fat really down low in my diet and I feel awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
And it tastes so good too, you know?
When I was getting my certification way back in the 90s, that's what I was taught. So it was when I was first started creating my recipes, it was all low fat, non-fat, this.
Right? Oh my God. I was down to like 10 grams of fat a day.
Oh, me too.
And not very nice either.
And my hair was straw. And
yeah, acne, all that non-fat crap.
No.
We're still recovering from that. It still makes me angry. All those missed, you know, terrible, terrible, like fat-free pasta meals. Guck.
Oh. Okay.
So here we are. Now we've got hot milk.
Yeah.
So let's talk about just benefits to keto diet in the first place, or just benefits to lowering your carbs and increasing your fat in the first place.
Well, I mean, you already hinted to the part about the brain. And I think this is one of the things. I just had a conversation with a mutual friend of ours, as a matter of fact, who has switched to a keto diet simply because he did his gene test and found there was one marker for an increased risk of Alzheimer's. And so nobody wants to hear that, right? But what we understand from ketogenic diets is that it increases brain mitochondrial biogenesis, meaning that you can produce entirely new mitochondria. And of course, we know that each and every cell in our body has the mitochondria, which is like the engine, the energy source for each cell. When that's improved, when you improve your energy metabolism, that's one of the reasons why it is keto so good for any kind of a brain thing, whether you're healing your brain from any kind of brain disorder. They're showing it even for bipolar. They're showing it for Alzheimer's, epilepsy, all kinds of things. And of course, also add on to that, it's, you know, it's the messenger, your messenger system is your hormone system in your body. And it completely greases the apparatus for that. So those hormones can communicate with your body parts. It's really a fascinating study. That's my biggest thing.
All right. So you created this thing, and what is this thing? What's that? Like, first of all, like best name ever, but what exactly is the hot milk diet?
So the hot milk diet is
because I got to tell you, it sounds like some cheese melted on a piece of bread. And I'm sure it's not that.
There is no dairy.
I just am like pretty darn sure. I was like, I'm pretty sure. Like, doesn't it sound like, you know, a hot milk sandwich? Well, right? I'm like, I'm sure it's not that. It couldn't be that. He didn't absolutely turn the leaf over like that.
Well, you've known me for how many years now? And you remember when I was really struggling with rosacea. So, you know, I'm not a big dairy fan. Dairy is usually not our friend. And even if people can tolerate dairy, it's still inflammatory. So this is anti-inflammatory, and it's very nutrient rich. That's the biggest part of the puzzle for me, is getting those nutrients up. And then we just start jacking up the fat a little bit. We're adding lots of avocado. We're adding some ghee. We are not shy in sauteing those vegetables in a little ghee. They taste delicious, and you're going to
thank God, because right? Who wants steamed vegetables? That's not yummy.
No, it's really not.
It's not yummy. No, that's not yummy.
So that's kind of the basis for it. And it's knocking back maybe the protein by an ounce or two. But again, what I do is I always say you have to test and figure out where your protein needs are, because we are all different. And if you do, if you already know where that is and you knock it back maybe an ounce and then you increase your fat up just maybe another tablespoon or even two during a meal, you can see if this particular combination is working for you. And what the other big thing that where I part ways with the keto diet is, if you have ever done your research on this, it'll make you insane by looking at what people live and die by the pee sticks. They're peeing all over their hands. You just know they are. Trying to get a pee stick to see if they're in ketosis or not. They're buying expensive blood meters and sticking their fingers to see if they're in ketosis or not. They're calculating macros. And at the end of the day, you look at that, and you and I both know this. How long have we been nutritionists, right?
Ever.
You cannot sustain that.
No. Well, also, you're looking at a snapshot of a moment in time. You could be in ketosis 1 minute and out the next, and that's actually not the point. You know, it's really not looking at this single moment in time going, am I there?
No, exactly. That is such, people obsess over this, and they think that this is going to be like the golden ticket to weight loss. And it's not, because again, it's back to that whole thing where you might be in ketosis when you wake up in the morning, but at the end of the day, you're not. But what you can be is in a fat burning zone versus somebody who's constantly using their glycogen as fuel. So it's a shift is what it is.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing. You could eat a super high fat diet and really chow down on that, which is hard to do because it's filling, but you still could and be in ketosis and not lose weight. So, I mean,
totally,
you know, it's one piece of the therapeutic puzzle, and there's times when this will work well for you. And that's why I like you having the zone piece of it, because people will need to be in varying amounts of carbohydrates depending on what's going on with them.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
So, all right. So what else? So I love everything I'm hearing that it's not this, because what I find with most people in diets, and this makes me crazy, I'd like to put everybody in a room, because my whole takeaway is they all work, people. They all work, and let's all just get along. Could we all be friends? But you put people in a room, you put a ketogenic diet person in a room and a paleo person and, you know, and then a vegan, and it's just like, it's going to get bloody. And it's like, what if we just had a couple lentils? What would happen? Would we be okay? We'd survive, you know? So, walk us through the process of this hot melt diet and how it works.
So the way it works is we like to start everybody off with a nice, yummy smoothie in the morning. That works really well. Everybody likes them. We're used to doing them. We know that it's one of the ways to go. And we just start slipping some avocado in there, might put a little MCT oil in there, and something that usually maybe was never in there before, but it puts some fat in there. What I found personally is that when I have a smoothie with a little avocado in there and maybe, you know, a handful of some power greens or whatever, but I make a green smoothie in the morning with matcha tea and protein, fiber, you know, the whole nine yards, and then I add these green elements to it, I can go 6 hours without eating. That's a long time. And we also like to put into this some intermittent fasting. And women need to do it differently than men too. And you know this, because
yes, women don't skip breakfast well.
No, they don't.
They can skip dinner, but not breakfast. I mean, it is, I remember I was doing a talk at Bulletproof Conference and I got like bombarded by all these women who were like, we can't skip breakfast. I'm like, I know. And you know, it was like, skip dinner, you know, just eat breakfast a little later, have dinner earlier, skip that. Don't skip breakfast.
It's just, you know, so my recommendation on this and it is in the hot melt is to do it every other day and for 18 hours. So you can do, it's super easy, early dinner and a little bit later of a breakfast and you're there. You know, it's not hard.
It is. It's very, especially on the weekends. Oh my gosh. It's totally. Like,
yeah.
Sleep in. No. There you go. It's so simple. Okay. That makes sense. Total sense. So any other key tips and tricks that you have up your sleeves that you want to share with us?
Well, I mean, again, you know, I keep going back to this whole thing of understanding. It's like what you said is like, we could have this bloodbath of everybody saying, no, it's this and no, it's that. Or we could just drop back a minute and just say, oh, okay, cool. That works for you. Let me find what works for me. And one of the things that I wrote this itty bitty small ebook called How to Be Your Own Nutritional Guru. Because I think at the end of the day, what happens is that we're always looking for somebody to tell us what we're supposed to feel, how it's supposed to work for us. And therefore it is. And it's not that way. It is not that hard and hard cast. There are certain principles involved. Of course, we're always going to be eating nutrient rich food. We're always going to be drinking a lot of water because we know that that helps with everything that we're trying to accomplish. We're always going to be going with some clean protein. We're always going to be looking for a lot of fiber as well in our diets, right? So you put that all together and then you just figure out what ratios work well for you. And that's where we can then honor everybody's diet. And that's where we can always also pull it in and see, hey, this isn't exactly working for me. Well, JJ Virgin said, or Leanne Ely said, and so
it's like, pay attention to your body. It doesn't matter what all of us said. It matters how you feel.
Bingo. That's my biggest takeaway. And that's that, if I could get everybody on this planet to understand that, I think, I don't think we'd have the obesity crisis that we have. And I don't think we'd have people being so confused and bopping around from thing to thing. They'd find the thing that works for them and they dial it in according to what their body needs.
Yeah, find your thing. I mean, the biggest thing that really my through line in my business is that, you know, you've got to be your own personal health detective. You're going on your journey. Mm-hmm. You need to connect the dots between what you're eating and how you feel. It doesn't matter if someone else tells you that kale is going to be amazing for you if kale makes you feel crappy.
Exactly.
So, right? I mean, and I think as we learn more and more and more about our genes, about our microbiome, we'll realize, oh, well, there's a reason I can't eat spinach or whatever this thing is that makes you feel crappy, or you just can't stand the taste of, right? I know I'm a super taster. So really bitter stuff like broccoli, Rob, broccolini, they're just like, I'm like George Bush with those things, you know, I just can't take it. So don't, like, just because it's good for someone doesn't mean it's good for everybody. It's super important that we get that. So I love that you're out there pushing that message out to the world. Now, you have recipes that you are going to be gifting everybody. Tell us, tempt us with a couple of those yummy ones.
Well, one is my basis for everything, which is the Mighty Mitochondria Soup. We were just talking about the mitochondria. This soup has every vegetable in it but the kitchen sink, you know, and lots of bone broth. And it's quite delicious. People love this soup. It's been shared all over the place. It's one of our most pinned things on Pinterest. And I'm giving that soup recipe out because that soup recipe is super easy to make into a keto type of a bowl of soup just by adding some lean protein and maybe even adding a little bit of stirring some ghee in there or some pea stew, which is like a pesto without the cheese, and it's delicious and it makes the whole thing taste wonderful. So you would like this. You would like this. I just had this for
my just want you to make it for me is the thing.
All you have to do is come out here and I will. I cook for everybody. You know that. So
yeah, well, there's that.
Just that small detail. And then there's a salmon recipe in there, I believe, as well. And that salmon recipe is one of my favorites. And it's on a bed of cauli rice. And actually, I do a cauli risotto that tastes a lot like what you would experience, like a mushroom risotto, but without the cheese. And then on top of that is some salmon, and there's some avocado involved and some other things. And then the other one, I don't know. I don't remember.
And there's a surprise. No, just say it's a surprise. It's a surprise. That's what we get. It's a surprise. So again, I'm going to put all of those at jjvirgin.com/hotmelt. They are my favorite price free. So again, I like to pull out every single excuse anyone could ever have for why they can't be healthy, because we put so much information out. You do, I do, so many of us, that is so easily accessible. And so it's really just the big thing now is to get the recipes and take action. That's it. That's your part as the listener. All right. So again, it's jjvirgin.com/hotmelt. And Leanne, thank you so much for being on with me today. Awesome, awesome time. It's really pathetic that this is what I have to do to get some time with you, but you know, whatever I have to do.
Works that way sometimes.
It just does, doesn't it? All righty. So thank you. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you back.
There was your deep dive bonus episode of Ask the Health Expert. We will be dropping these bonus episodes as amazing experts and incredible titles come to us. You don't want to miss out on this, do ya? Stay in the know, be the first to know. Go to subscribe to JJ.com and I'll hook you up.